could you write me some background information on the new record, Phoenix Amongst the Ashes, like how you and Eric developed it into what became the finished product, so to speak?
Actually, the material we actually started working on about close to 2 years ago now. I mean, we were writing riffs on the Hatebreed Cannibal Corpse tour. We're going way back 2 years, so we were throwing ideas around, and we just started building songs up. JJ started throwing ideas around ever since he's been, you know, part of the lineup, and we've just been building up these songs for a very long time, and they really all just came together last year, and we spent a good amount of time in pre-production together down here in Florida just working. Since we all live in different parts, I mean, I live in Canada, JJ lives in Jersey, and Eric's down here in Florida, so I guess it really all came together once we were down here working together in the studio.
How much difficulty does that cause for rehearsals, living far apart like that?
I would say maybe if we were doing this, 15 or 20 years ago, it might have been a different story, but, you know, with the advantages of the internet and, you know, the ease of recording ideas nowadays, it's not that much of a drawback. I'd say the only drawback is, you know, rehearsing this stuff and, you know, being tight. That's why when we go on tour, we try and meet at least two weeks in advance to really just get our A game at the par so we can just go on tour and sound like a band. So, but in terms of throwing ideas around for recording purposes, being in different locations is not really a big idea. You know, it's not a big deal. We do everything through the internet, and when it comes time to actually put some work together, we all fly down here and coordinate.
Okay. Obviously, Eric is a producer in his spare time. Do you have any? Do you do anything musical outside of Hate Eternal when Eric's doing his production thing?
I find Hate Eternal is a very demanding band drum-wise. So musically, I mean, when I'm home, I just practice drums. I just practice ideas, and I try and stay in the best shape possible. I thought about maybe starting to do clinics at some point, but there's so many great death metal clinicians out there, like George, doing a great job. I don't see what kind of addition I could be, you know, anything I could be adding to the clinic world at this point in my playing. I have a lot to learn still, and I just try and play the songs as best I can. So when I'm at home and not touring, I'm just working on the Hate Eternal material, just trying to keep up the bar.
What do you feel when the band is creating a new track and so on, what do you feel your responsibility to the band is in terms of providing the drums for the songs?
I think between Fury and Flames and Phoenix, my outlook on drum performances has changed a lot. As you can tell on Fury, I was younger and less experienced, and it seems like I was trying to show the world, you know, what Jake Simonetta could do on drums. So it was kind of chaotic and all over the place and not very structured. You know, I was just trying to play as many notes as humanly possible. And I think if there's one thing I've learned touring and just being in a band now and finding my place in Hate Eternal is that I need to play for the music. So that on Fury, it was kind of chaotic, but on this one, on Phoenix, I'm playing for the music, and I'm trying to complement the riffs and trying to complement the vocals, so it's way more structured, and that's why these songs breathe a lot. I find they're just very well structured songs. That's what I'm striving for now. Just playing for the music.
So you would describe yourself as probably a more mature drummer now then, really?
Sorry, I missed that last question.
Do you find that's you mentioned trying to play as many notes as humanly possible. Do you find that sometimes quite prevalent amongst death metal musicians? Like some of them trying to just go fast and out technique each other and that type of thing.
Yeah, it seems all of a sudden death metal is like this race, especially in the drum department. I mean, I can't even actually even guitar playing. I mean, there's so many bands out there trying to one up each other on the arpeggios, and I can play these arpeggios faster than you, and it seems like, you know, like it's almost like artists and remembering what this genre is about, and it's trying to technicality involved in it, and, you know, being a good musician is a very important, intricate part of death metal, but there's a certain feeling that you need to acquire. It's a feeling, it's just, you try to be brutal, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you got to play 280 and play 70 arpeggios a second. So I think there's a thing going on right now out there where a lot of drummers are trying to one-up each other, and I know that this record is a lot faster than the last one, but this was not for the purpose of just trying to be faster than everybody else. It's just because the songs ended up being that way. But we were really not going for trying to be faster or anything else than anybody. We were just going for good, old-fashioned death. I don't think we really achieved that on this record.
Do you have to stay in shape and that type of thing to be able to perform live as a drummer within Hate Eternal?
I definitely train when I'm at home. You know, I work out and stuff. But before we've been riding bikes for our car. You know, on set now with just that much more ease. Just the cardio work, doing bicycles. So it's not a myth. If you actually stay in cardio shape, it will improve your playing.
Okay. Obviously, the album ain't out yet, but already Decibel's editor Albert Mudgeon said that the record's the best death metal album since forever. What are you obviously that's a compliment, isn't it? You know.
So far, all the reviews you've been getting on the room, you know, magazines and, you know, all these industry people, and especially the fans. I mean, we've been getting great reviews. People that like the song that we put out. We started putting out studio reports, and that's been a lot of positive criticism. So we're very excited. It seems like this is a breath of fresh air for the band. I think everybody's catching on to that, and I think we're in line for some for a good year for Eternal, so we're really excited.
That's probably very different to 10 years ago then, isn't it? Recording an album, in terms of when you're recording an album, putting up studio reports and doing all that type of thing, like interacting with the internet and that type of thing.
Yeah, I think it's an intricate part of band survival nowadays, is, you know, just stay up to date with the media, and, you know, the fans, they really want to know what's going on. I think, you know, the addition of the internet, things are a little harder, but as well, I think bands are trying harder now to stay out there. Therefore, you know, fans get a bit more of what's going on behind the scenes as opposed to only the record and, you know, only the show. They get to see what, you know, the process of what goes through the stuff in the studio. And obviously, there's been a couple of remarks that, you know, we act like goofballs in the studio, and there's a lot of silliness going on, but that's who we are as guys. I mean, we work extremely hard at what we do, but we also joke around, and, you know, we try to keep it light in the studio, because, if you're serious 24-7, then there's just nothing to be done in the studio. It's just, you gotta light there, because it's very hard work. We try to put that across on the studio documentaries that, you know, we work hard, but we're just goofing off when we can, man, just to keep it, just to break the monotony of the studio stuff.
Was there anything specific that, made you, a faster record than the last one at all, or?
Sorry, can you just repeat the question, because my earphones are terrible.
Okay, was there anything specific which made this new record quicker than the last one, like something that brought that about?
First of all, the ability of, my ability of being able to play faster tempos due to, you know, a couple of years of touring with the band has definitely made Eric be able to write the riff that he wants without restraint. I mean, I'm sure on Fury, it was my first time, I'm sure in some way he wrote according to what he knew I could play. I mean, he probably to restrain himself, so everything just came out the way it was supposed to. No restraints, no restrictions. It was just pure creativity on this record. I think that's why it sounds so good, because we had no restrictions on this record. We just did everything we were feeling, and that's how it came out.
Would you say there's more variety on the record or not? Or?
Definitely. There's a whole array of tempos, of feels. I mean, there's the variety, that good old King of All Kings velocity, and there's also like a more of a iMonarch groove vibe also on some of the songs. It's just, there's even some of that good old fashioned stuff for all the Conquering the Throne guys, the Throne era guys. So there's the whole thing on there for everybody to enjoy.
That probably gives the album more of an impact then, because it's like, if you have a really fast song and then a slow song comes next, then each of them accentuate the other by being different, don't they?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you listen to some of these bands out there nowadays. Hold on. You listen to some of these bands nowadays, and like, okay, song one, song three, and it's just like you basically listen to the same song 12 times. I'm sure everybody's bought that record where it's like, okay, this is all very intricate, technical, you know, it probably took them a lot of time to write, but I don't remember goddamn riffs, you know what I mean? And that's what we were going for, is really, you know, riffs and feels and song structures. Remembering that they stuck in your head, you know what I mean? I don't necessarily mean catchy, to try and be catchy, but just music. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what music is about, is, you know, an emotion and a feeling, and Ellie, you really hit the ball out of the park on this one.
How did the band, you and Eric, find JJ?
From what I do know, the story is can't quote me on everything here, but I know that JJ had worked with Eric in the past on his Divine Rapture band, JJ's band.
Okay.
And so Eric and JJ had worked together in the studio many years ago for JJ's project, and then I guess JJ resurfaced at some point on one of our first tours we did together. I think it was my first US tour with Black Dahlia hung out, and I think that just gave Eric the idea that, you know, this guy could be a good candidate. JJ turned out to possibly be the best candidate we could have for this band. He's a super cool guy. He learns very fast, he's super talented, and he picks up these bass lines like nobody's business, man. We couldn't ask for a better bandmate than JJ. He's doing a great job.
So you can definitely hear him on the new record, and his style and everything.
Well, yeah, JJ did all the bass lines and wrote all the bass lines on this record, and but obviously the vocals, you know, JJ sings his vocal lines live, but obviously Eric vocals in the studio, just because, you know, Eric's got that certain something that in the studio that just sounds the way it's supposed to. But JJ does a great job on vocals live, and he wrote all the bass lines in the studio and performed them, and you can see that on the studio footage. He hasn't been playing bass for a long time. He's originally a guitar player, so just the fact that he's been able to join the band and learn Alex Webster's bass lines and perform these bass lines on the record is just phenomenal. He's a very talented guy.
Is there a certain, like, when a guitar, someone picks up a guitar and then turns to bass, do they have a certain style or something, like you can hear it, that they were formerly a guitarist?
Yeah, I think there's more of a guitar-driven, you know, especially technically, I mean, you know, you're using a pick, and I guess, you know, you're going more for tapping rather than maybe, you know, doing everything with the left hand. I mean, you look at Alex Webster play, he is a straight bass player, you know what I mean? He's played bass his whole life, and he's developed that strength and that power. I mean, I think Alex Webster could probably crush a coconut with one hand. That's how strong his fingers are, so I think there's he's working on, you know, slow tempos and rudiments to really try and build up his fingers, but I think it's going to take a while before he can make that transition from a pick to fingers. But I think that's a natural progression if you're a guitar player to try and switch the bass.
Okay. Do you know, like, what sort of topics Eric was delving into on new record with the lyrics?
Well, clearly, you can understand, like, you know, Fear and Flames is about fire and death and chaos, and, you know, this record's kind of like the continuation of that. It's, you know, life after birth, and, you know, basically the phoenix coming out from the ashes and being, you know, being reborn from chaos. So I think that's the running theme, is, you know, even after death there's life. And I know that a lot of that stems from, you know, the whole thing with Jared, and there's a lot of other themes on the record, but I think, you know, especially the record title and the bulk of the creative process for the lyrics and stuff has to do with that main theme, rebirth, resurrection.
Yeah, that was probably a pretty bad time for you and Eric. What happened to Jared, probably?
Well, I mean, I've lost some friends in the past from some really terrible accidents. I never knew Jared personally. I joined the band after what had happened, but I can completely sympathize with Eric and how he feels. I mean, I've lost a very close friend of mine in the past too, unannounced. It was just a complete accident. It's just, you know, you receive this news and you almost just don't believe it. And it's just things that nobody can understand unless it happens to them. And if you can't fathom that feeling or that, or just those emotions of it's such a real shock. It's just such a hard dose of reality. And I can sympathize with Eric and I can understand how that feels. So, you know, I mean, it's hard times, but at the same time, I think that Eric's created some of his best work due to some of those emotions. So, you know, these two records are all driven from those emotions. So I guess that's the positive that's come out of this whole thing, you know.
Are there any correlations between that Phoenix theme and the band itself then? Like, is this like this new record like a fresh start for the band or something, or not? Or I don't
know. I don't know if we're talking about a fresh start because of the music. I definitely feel like we all feel within this band that, yes, we have made a fresh start. We have a solid lineup, and I don't think anybody's going anywhere. This is not the lineup next year, you know what I mean? Like, there's been a lot of lineup changes on Hate Eternal, but I think this is we're in this for the long haul on this one, and we're all committed to working hard. So in a sense, yes, this is a fresh start. We're all on the same page, and we're all ready to just keep hammering out brutal music and just ripping people's heads off.
Obviously, you are familiar with the Hate Eternal catalog. Would you say this new record is the best one so far, from your perspective at least?
I can't say that for me. I mean, I love the whole catalog. This is why I was such a fan of the band, and I joined Hate Eternal. I'll tell you one thing, these are the hardest songs to play in the catalog. I mean, you know, I played Behold Judas and King of All Kings live, and these songs used to be hard last year for me to play. But ever since we wrote these songs and I've had to perform them every night, it seems like playing Behold Judas and King of All Kings is almost a breeze compared to some of these 270, 260 tempos that we have to play, you know, for 4 or 5 minutes at a time. So the difficulty level on this record is definitely a notch above anything else. But in terms of just, I mean, I love playing all these other songs and everything off I Monarch and Conquering and, you know, King of All Kings, Fury. It's I love all the material. I'm a fan of the band before I'm a drummer of the band, you know what I mean? I've been a fan for years.
With such songs, writing such songs, do you feel Eric's trying to spur you on a bit, like rev you up type of thing? If that makes sense?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, we didn't compromise anything on this record for the sake of what, you know, the creative process. So if the riff felt right at 275, that's when we recorded at 275. struggling on it. It's fast, man. I mean, you know, any drummer out there can say everything, no big deal, but try single footing a blast at 272 BPM for all those measures. It catches up to you, man. It's difficult stuff. So we didn't make any compromises in terms of speed. If the riff felt right at a certain tempo, we went for it. So definitely, I think we're all on the same page and just trying to go.
What are your thoughts on the artwork by Paul Romano, who's like well known for working with Mastodon in particular?
I think as creative as Eric is in music, I think Paul Romano creative in artwork. I think the guy's a genius. He is an extremely creative guy, and he's a super cool dude. I've hung out with him numerous times in Philly, and I think on this record, he's really outdone himself. I know there was a couple of criticisms online about it, but I don't think these guys who are criticizing Paul's artwork really understand what he's doing. I mean, I think that's all it is. It's like somebody who doesn't listen to death metal and hears Nile for the first time. They might not understand what's going on. It's extremely complex art. So, you know, I mean, it takes a complex mind to really understand. You know, it's very, especially Paul Romano's art, it's got a lot of, you know, abstract stuff going on in there. So, you know, you gotta look at it as abstract art. And I think Paul is just, he's a super talented guy, super creative. And anybody could ever come close to the stuff he came up with for our records. I mean, you can't compare, man.
What do you feel the future potentially holds for the band, or what are the goals then for you and Eric and JJ?
For me and Eric and JJ, I think the future holds that our lineup will solidify over time. I mean, we're already a solid three-piece now. You know, we've had some great tours, we've been super solid, and I think that's only going to amplify how clean, I mean, you know, how tight these records are going to sound. I mean, we're just going to be on top of our A-game more and more every time we do records as this lineup. You know, we all understand each other's limits, and we all know how much we can push each other. So, I think we're just going to get just more and more